Welcome to the Best of the Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch. It was a big news day in the world of the AFL, including breaking news on the league's illicit drug policy. Let's hear what the reaction was across the nation. 3:34, 25.3 degrees. If you'd like to send a text, please do so on the Mourn Team Hyundai Cheltenham text line 0427 154 166. Alrighty, we're here thanks to McGain Real Estate, a wonderful organisation sold by McGain again. Rooch, we've got a little bit of time to breathe now. So we'll reconvene regarding the breaking news. If you can just summarise what has happened the last 24 hours.
So we've had Andrew Wilkie go into Parliament based on the information given to him by a former Melbourne club doctor about how club doctors are testing players for illicit drugs. This is all part of the AFL's illicit drug policy, which is based on well-being, welfare of players. The essence is they test them. If they come through with positive tests, it's then about putting them in rehab. It's to stop them going down a bad path, which can lead to more than just drug issues. All of a sudden now, there are people who have either been asleep during the briefings, and I'm going to include Mark Robinson in that because he's just launched a column for the Herald Sun saying that the AFL has been lying to us. I've been to those briefings where with Robbo where we've been told this policy is in place. You can argue about whether it should be confidential or not, about well-being and welfare of players. We've got coaches now trying to compare this with the Essendon saga.
Campbell Brown came out.
And I'm not going to throw names in here to protect the innocent or guilty, Kim, whichever way you want to put it. Yep. I have sat in a coach's office in Melbourne. He opened the whiteboard to explain to me how match committee was going to be. It's part of my education of what goes on in an AFL club. He had his lineup on there. He had on the right side players who were unavailable by suspension and injury. And there was one player's, you know, little card to the left. I'll say Kim Dillon just for the use of it.
Well, thanks.
Sorry, but I said, so-and-so. Why is Kim Dillon on the left? Well, it happened like this on Tuesday. Club doctor came into our match committee and said Kim Dillon will be unavailable for training and selection this weekend and then walked out. We can't ask the question why. We know what that means. It means the player has failed an illicit drug test and must be taken out of the system. We don't ask. We understand. Now we've got coaches who have been in the system for 30 years saying they're in shock about what they've learnt overnight.
Well, just for the hell of it, let's have a listen to what Mick Malthouse had to say on the AFL drug story.
It's quite damning. It's such a surprise for a start off. I can't believe how angry I've got just hearing the news. We have an obligation for the player's health for a start off. We have an obligation to the game. We want a fair, honest game. We want players to run down the race and play good football without compromise. And this is thrown, this is almost on the same level as the Essendon saga. In fact, it might even go beyond that because this is suggesting that AFL officials are involved in this. Now, it is just so damning. And so it's going to place every player, every club official, and in particular club doctors now under scrutiny. And I know personally that most club doctors are the most outstanding people who care so much about their players. So the ramifications from this are going to be very broad.
Has he lost his memory bank, Michael Malthouse? He was a coach for how long in the system?
A long time.
He was there when this policy was introduced. He was briefed like everyone else has been briefed. The doctors will test players. If they come forward with illicit positive tests, they will be taken out of the system and rehabbed until they are clear. And that's exactly how it would happen, Kim. The doctor would come into match committee. Kim Dillon is unavailable for training and selection this week. Don't ask me anymore. We know what that meant. Now, okay, if you want to then broaden it out like Robbo is at the moment, then all of a sudden, you know, there's an injury statement and it's got Kim Dillon on their hamstring 2 weeks. Yes, we have been lied to. But under the confidentiality agreement with the Players Association, who have been really strong, and first of all, denying us how many tests they're taking each year, what the results of those tests are, what drugs the players have been taking. Well, what else are you going to put on the list? Kim Dillon unavailable. And then what do you assume from that, Kim?
And isn't there legalities as well around doctor-patient confidentiality?
Yes. Now, I've always been anti the confidentiality stuff because I think we need transparency to know how many tests are being done. If we see year by year more and more are failing, then we've got to say, is the policy working? But we don't get that data
anymore. But why, just
because
you're an AFL footballer, should you be exposed? This is where I get annoyed, the hypocrisy of people getting on their high horse. Mm. Andrew Wilkie, you impose the same...
Philosophy and protocols.
Yeah, on all the politicians. Because I tell you, every lawyer, not every, but many lawyers, politicians, captains of industries are engaging in recreational, call it that, social or illicit drug use. Mm. So let them have the same type of scrutiny.
Well, Andrew, would Andrew Wilkie now pass or put forward to Parliament that there be a bill that says when every politician returns to Canberra after a break, before they go into Parliament, they'll all be drug tested?
Yeah.
And we'll get all the results.
But this is what I mean. And this is not condoning the use of drugs at all, but I'm just saying consistency. And the double standards we have in society, if it's a actor or a rock and roll star, a musician, they are...
Oh, but that's Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, I know. They are idolised. Oh, Hollywood. Look at him. He gave it a big bender. He was on this, he was on that.
That's Hollywood.
You got people who are making billions of dollars, and then you get a footballer making $300,000 or $400,000.
But don't we put footballers on a pedestal and expect them to be heroes who never make a mistake?
But they do.
Make a mistake. You know, butter wouldn't melt in their mouth. You'd want them to knock on the door to date your daughter.
Well, not always.
Well, you know what, but the image is you want them to be that person.
And another person that's had a bit to say is Sean Smith. The father.
Ah, yes.
There's a text here. It says, I feel Sean Smith is sooking up after his son got busted. Now, you can understand him wanting to protect his son.
Yep.
But can we get deep for a second, Rich. I think in life we encounter many crossroads and intersections, which means decisions have to be made. By the sheer physiological nature of being human, it means mistakes will be made. But when they're made, you need to own them, learn from them, become better from them. Don't look for excuses and don't go around trying to blame the world.
So I sense the frustration that Sean Smith has. Does this moment give more credence to former Hawthorn president Jeff Kennett saying, if an AFL player fails a drug test, his parents should be notified?
Well, why doesn't that apply in every workforce, whether you're Mick the plumber, whether you're a FIFO worker? And we know the pilots and other professions have their testing, yep. But they get caught out. It doesn't get publicised. I know they're not famous.
Mm.
Mm.
Although I think if a pilot and that became public, it'd be big news, wouldn't it?
No, but they don't.
Wasn't there one three years ago?
In many workplaces, there'll be someone that goes home to his wife and says, got to take 4 weeks off, love. Well, where are you taking 4 weeks off now? Well, no, I've got leave banked up. I've got to do that. They don't tell the truth that they've been caught. Mm. Let's see a poor old Simon Goodwin. Every press conference, it must be stressful, but he got hit with all these similar questions and whether he knew what was going on.
Well, it's news to me. So I think it's a surprise to everyone in the industry because there's no line of sight for me as my position as a head coach. I haven't got a line of sight on what that policy looks like. So... I understand the policy, but I don't get the information that people would expect to get. So, it's news to me.
It's interesting. We've got a text here from Matt. He says, in all capitals, it's the lying to the public we are angry about.
I get that. I do get it.
But this is a private medical...
Yeah, and I argued in those briefings with, at that time it was Gillon McLachlan, that if you don't publish... how many tests, how many failures, how many clearances, what drugs are being taken, people are going to accuse you in the end of covering up.
But why, just because they're footballers, should that be made public all the time? And then it just becomes more headlines, Rich.
No, the only thing that does, it gives me then confidence.
Why don't we do it for all industries?
Yeah, but if you can arrange that, Kim, but I'm sure if all of a sudden, you know...
Well, let's start with the politicians, like you said.
Yeah, but in the football context, if we went back to the old system, Kim, where the AFL at the end of the year said, we have conducted 13,000 tests, 161 of them failed, and the breakdown of the drug use was that, you'd go, okay, I've got an understanding of what's going on here. Yeah. And if the next year the figure goes down, you'd say, you know what, they're winning in their fight to keep the players safe. If it goes up, then you go, oh, does this policy need to be reviewed and changed?
If I was to have 5 children now and 5 boys, 5 girls, 10 kids, I'd be more than happy for them to be in the system.
Mm.
I think they get looked after better than in most workplaces.
The bigger debate here is, are you prepared to accept that this is not a punishing policy, it is a welfare policy?
Mm.
It's there to catch before you get into deeper trouble.
Yep.
And you know the deeper trouble that comes if you start then taking drugs and then associating with the wrong type of people.
And I think you said earlier when we were off here, imagine if that rule in terms of being able to tell the parents had it happened to Ben Cousins.
Exactly.
We don't know if it would have made any difference, but...
might have helped.
You might have helped. We get a lot of texts like this now. Modbury Max says, hey, boys, do you think that is just a coincidence that Clayton Oliver missed a block of games last year with a foot infection?
No, we know that was very
true. We know that's very different.
That was very true.
Oh, here we go, Daniel. Kimbo, the Crows don't need Petty. He's not a proven player. They need a midfield gun. I'd be happy with Petty and his experience playing back or forward, Daniel. I understand what you're saying, though. And I haven't given up on Adelaide's midfield. They've lost two games. I'll be a bit nervous if they lose to the Dockers, Rooch.
So we're going to get the whole debate again about the illicit drug policy. Again, I reiterate, if it is a prohibited performance-enhancing substance, you will be banned immediately. We know that is clear-cut in our world sport. The illicit one, to which the players have signed up to virtually voluntarily, is designed to catch you to help you.
Mm.
Now, the AFL Players Association says that all the medical advice is if you keep it confidential, you've got a better chance of treating and helping the player than if you name and shame. Now, this is all up for debate. But if people are going to say that the AFL has been lying to us, well, you haven't been listening for the past 10, 15, 20 years when we've been saying, well, this is a policy that's not there to catch and punish, but to catch and rehabilitate.
This is a politician.
So I'm staggered by some of these coaches and club presidents going, oh, I didn't know this. Yeah. Well, where were you with the briefings?
Koshy said he was shocked. We might have that for you a little bit later.
Well, where have they been when the briefings are on?
Look, there's a text here from Matt and Brizzy. And Matt, we appreciate all opinions and we don't have to agree. This one says, I think AFL industry have a bigger drug problem than many sectors of general society. Young men who make way more money than most of us and have a lot of protections and time on their hands. I'm not surprised the AFL don't tell the truth. And Matt, I don't subscribe to that. I respect your opinion. I was talking to a really prominent publican who sold a number of pubs lately, and I said, why are you getting out of the pubs? And they said, the world has changed. One, drink driving is such a serious offence now. But two, the younger generation just don't drink like they used to back in our day, going back in the 80s and the 90s, because they're all taking recreational drugs. They can buy a pinger, a tablet, a pellet, whatever you want to call it, for 10 or 15 bucks, and they're as happy as Larry for 3 hours. And they don't have to spend 150 bucks on alcohol. The world has changed.
That
I do not agree with you, Matt, with your comments on that.
That is sad.
Yeah, but that's the world that we're living in.
So what policy would you have? If I suddenly put you on the AFL Commission and you had to review all this, what would you change or what would you
keep? There's two ways you look at it. You can have zero tolerance, okay? You say you've got an opportunity because you're gifted genetically or you've got a great work ethic and you've got an opportunity to make a pretty good living.
Yep.
But the thing is, that could only be 2.5 years or 10 years, but you might be able to set yourself up.
Right.
If you want to enjoy those privileges and everything that comes with being an AFL footballer, one strike and you're out. You could go down that track, but that's not in line with the rest of society.
No, it isn't.
It's not. So I think education is the best way to go. And if you're silly enough to get caught three times or whatever the ruling
two
is now, right, two now, well, suffer the consequences and cop the embarrassment from being exposed.
Would you like to know how many tests are done, how many have failed and how many substances the players are taking again? Would you like that to be public again?
I don't think it needs to be. I think it's just another story.
Hmm.
I really don't
prefer there to be a bit more transparency on the basic data.
Yeah. What, so we're just talking about drugs on a sports show every day?
If you then put it away, people keep saying, why are you hiding it?
Well, I don't think you're hiding it. Hey, let's hear from Tom Harley, one of the most balanced people in the business on this story.
It was absolutely news to me. I mean, it would be unfair of me to comment, not having any background to it, but I like... a lot of footy fans read that late last night, Michael Warner's article, and thought, gee, that is a bomb. You know, we throw the word around bombshell off, and that was a bombshell claim. And so, outside of just being really surprised by that, you know, certainly nothing that I've seen. But me, like everyone, will be watching to see how this unfolds.
Interesting. Here's a text. Nobody cares other than the baby boomers. Let's move on. Not one good reason to know if someone is on drugs other than gossip at the water cooler. That's from Nathan from Angle Vale. A lot of people feel that way, Rich.
I'm more and more staggered that we're getting more and more of these quotes from leaders in the game saying they were staggered by it. Didn't they know the policy?
Well,
We've all been debating this policy for years.
Let's go to a break, Roach. There's still plenty of things to talk about in the football world, and we'll update you on that sad news regarding Tom Duday as well. This is Kimbo and the Roach. Welcome back to the Best of the Run Home. Every Tuesday we give Roach the mic, and this week he roasted one of the hot topics of the week. Peter Wright's high hit on Sydney's Harry Cunningham. Has the AFL made the right decision? The time-honoured journalistic masterpiece, which I stir gravy to, to pour on Roochie's roast.
They say it's gonna be 100 degrees, even more maybe. But that won't stop the road. Who's gonna make the gravy?
I make the gravy. Rooch presents the roast. Who are you lining up?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the corridor of confusion and we are seeking the light of guidance. Mm. So far, all we have is a flickering candle from the four-game ban handed to Port Adelaide half-forward Sam Powell-Pepper in the pre-season for his bump that concussed Adelaide defender Mark Keane. Now we need a beam as strong as those lighthouses in the English Channel or the North Sea. Peter Wright's collision with Harry Cunningham has created more and more confusion. Now, the umpire called play on. No free kick for what is clearly prohibited contact. And Graham Corns loved it. He told us as much on Twitter.
Well umpired. The player running towards the ball surely has the right to protect himself against the player who, as courageous as it might be, is running back with the flight of the ball. Wright instinctively braces for contact at the last split second. Play on.
Ah, yes. Hang on.
That wasn't Cornsy.
Well, we had to get an actor in.
Yeah, so that was off his Twitter account.
Yes.
All right, that sounded like Brendan Lyon sounding more like Mike Sheehan than Graham
He's got
Corns.
A few gigs on this roast he has, Brent. Now, the match review officer, Michael Christian, has sent Peter Wright direct to the tribunal this evening, and Lee Matthews loves it.
That is where there should be a send-off rule mechanism so the player who did it, in this case Wright, he's off for the game too. Just to even up the numbers. Forget about what happens at the tribunal afterwards. The Swans are down a player for 3.5 quarters and the player who inflicted that is still on the field. I do think there should be a send-off.
So it's got other legs in other dimensions. Now, not everyone agrees, as highlighted by former Collingwood president Eddie Maguire, pretty well putting up a defence for Peter Wright last night.
The player who is going back with the ball is the person who owes the duty of care. Peter Wright had right of way. Not having got Cunningham, he was absolutely brave. And I read that. I thought Wright actually tried to get out of the way. Rule number one in life, look after yourself first.
So we now go to the tribunal. We want clarity. We want consistency. We want an end to the confusion. But not everyone's going to be happy with the end result, I sense, because Wayne Carey's already declared this.
I just want to say this. So this has been sent straight to the tribunal, has it?
Yep.
Weak as piss, straight away. Whoever determined that that goes straight to the tribunal is absolute. That is just crap and wrong. And I'm prepared to say if Peter Wright gets suspended for whatever weeks he gets, I will not watch a game of AFL footy. Jeez. I'm done.
So there we are, Kim. We've got an umpire who didn't take issue with it called play on, not even a free kick. We've got a Hall of Fame coach who was quite happy with that. Mm. We've got a legend of the game who says it should even lead to a send-off rule. We've got a noted former president saying, no, Peter Wright did the right thing. We've got another great of the game going, I'll actually quit the game. We are in the corridor of confusion.
We need an answer
tonight.
I like this, Roach. I'm none the wiser, but I'm even more confused when you listen to all the opinions. Does anyone have a right of way? Our game is, AFL football is played 360. So you look at Wayne Carey, the amount of marks, Jonathan Brown, they took going against the traffic.
Mm, exactly.
So does someone have the right of way or is it purely who gets there first? And then it's a duty of care is on the person that gets there second. If that's the case, if they just make the rule like that, then it's simple. Well, you arrive second. Peter Wright got there second.
Oh.
Just.
So what you're virtually asking Peter Wright to do is
pull out.
Turn away from a contest.
Yep.
Wow. How does that play?
Well, this is where we're heading, though, because they do not want injuries. That's where we're heading. I don't say I like it. Our game's spectacular because of the collisions, but we can't have
and
people
we're talking
getting
again
hurt
about now. Split seconds.
Mm.
like the Sam Powell-Pepper one, you recognise he's bumping, right?
Yep.
All right, it was a terrible situation whereby Keane's put in his path, but he bumps.
Hmm.
Again, we know what the bump's all about.
Partly to protect himself as well.
This one starts as a marking contest where you see Peter Wright having no more than intent to get the ball, right?
No, that started that way.
Started, that's what I'm saying. That was his intent. When he realises, oh, I'm in a bit of trouble here, his instinct is to protect himself, isn't it?
And Lee Matthews says, you can't mark the ball if you've got your hands pinned to your chest. If you put his hands out.
He puts his hands out and Cunningham comes right through him and smashes three ribs.
Yep. Possibly, yeah.
Then we say, oh, collision sport, accidents happen.
Mm. Football action, both going for the ball.
Wow, we're all tied up in knots here. We are tied up in knots.
I don't have the answer. Maybe, though, if you just make it, it is incumbent on the person who arrives to the contest second to show a duty of care.
We're going to become Flemington and we're going to need photo finish photo calls here.
Well, this is what we're doing. We've been doing that forever, slowing down vision at the tribunals. Then you would see the situation with Patrick Dangerfield.
Gee, this is tough on Peter Wright. Because I never see an intent of a player who is going out there to line up an opponent.
No, it's all very messy and confusing at the moment. There's so many grey areas, but I think you'll get three or four. But who knows, Roach? What if it gets thrown out?
Ooh.
Then where are we? There was a great text earlier saying what would have happened to the DMAC, David McKay, with that game up in Cairns. Now, my recollection, they were both both bending down to get the footy, I think, from memory now.
So then you need the Flemington photo finish. Who was there first and who was there second? Well, where's the responsibility lie?
And then there's another grey area because sometimes you don't know. But a player will know at the last second that he's not going to be there. Most times.
See, I get your point in the end, safety first, right? I get all that. But if we're going to start seeing players say, oh, I'm out of this, and you just see them do 180 degrees out of a contest, you know what the reaction is.
This is what
be.
Wayne Carey's talking about, then the game's not what it used to be.
Well, the game isn't what it used to be already.
No, we loved the big hip and shoulders back in the day. Yeah.
Interesting tribunal.
Well, we'll have something to talk about tomorrow. You can have your say. Get on the text line. Thanks to Montine Hyundai, 0427 154 166. Very thought-provoking, Roach, that one. What are you laughing at?
It's just someone said in a text, you can get Blakey in now to do corns if you want. Yeah, come on, John Blake.
Yeah, Linesy, how did you think you went with that impersonation?
Oh, I wasn't too bad.
Oh, hang on, he's got a voice, Roach.
Oh, it's hard to say, Kim. About a three.
Are you still trying to do it?
Yeah, I know. It's not working, is it?
Ken. If you just say,
Ken.
If you just go, hi, folks.
Hi, folks.
Good on you, Studley. All right, it's 11 past four.
Welcome back to the best of the run home with Kimbo and the Rooch. We rolled out the red carpet for the legend, Malcolm Blight. And as usual, he took no prisoners.
What about the words of that song, Living in the Hall of Fame and the world's going to know your name and who walks in? The Messiah!
I still think one of the best lines I've ever heard was when a Hall of Famer was out to buy a house and the real estate agent was sort of looking for some substantiation as to who they were. And someone said, well, what a statue do is prove who I am.
Blighty.
It wasn't Blighty who said it, actually.
Oh, wasn't it?
No, it was his wife.
Really? Yeah. Patsy. Hello, Patsy.
Well, he's got a statue. Would that prove who he is?
Blighty, thank you for jumping in. We've had David Wilde in recent weeks. Yep. And from next week, it'll be Bix. We'll get him doing a little bit of work for his cash. We just thought we'd throw a few things at you. We haven't addressed this today. If you don't have strong views on it, you don't have to talk about it. But it is significant with what's happening at the Human Rights Commission, Roach. We touched on it yesterday. Alistair Clarkson will be there for 2 days. Unfortunately, they are his own words. Chris Fagan could only be there today. He has to get back to prepare for a game, a huge game. Let's have a listen to Chris Fagan today talking about how the conciliation talks went.
Conciliation continues today, all of us that have participated have agreed to keep everything pretty much in house. So, if there is a point in time where I can talk about it, I will. But for now, I've just got to let it be and let the process work.
So I hope you can respect that, but that's just where it's all at the moment. There's confidentiality around it, and that's what's required to get honesty. So that's where it's at.
So let's just tidy it up, Rooch. We won't dig into it because we don't know what's being discussed. Mm. But if they can't reconcile, what's the next step?
And they go to the federal court, and it'll all be in public view then.
Let's hope it doesn't get to that. No. Bloody lot happening in the football world at the moment. The Peter Wright situation, you knew the lad when he's playing up at the Gold Coast.
Yes, I did.
What was your view on that before they gave him four games?
Well, the view as it happened, I said that'll be 4 weeks. Oh. That was pretty obvious. I think we're old players, and that was very acceptable some years ago. Mm.
But it was play on by the umpire.
Yeah, of course it was. So what actually happens now is we know the world's changed, so either you change with it or get out of it. I've got an opinion on that. Mm. So the truth of the matter is you know that's going to be the case. Concussion's no good. We know there's a lot of people that have hurt. There's a lot of people. Mm. Mate, I had more concussions than anyone probably. And most people think I'm reasonably sane. I didn't say totally sane, just reasonably sane. So, I mean, you know, and I accepted it. Mm. And I've been asked to go on a number of things to go and say, let's go to the AFL, let's get some. No, not on my bag, not on my watch. I knew the risks. I knew the risks of playing. Young blokes today know that you can put your head over the ball and someone's not going to put a knee through your head unless it's accidental. So the world has changed in that. I've actually accepted it now and think, well, okay, is it better for the kids going forward? Of course it is. Of course it is. So I think our game, like most of those games, there was a stat in the NFL, the gridiron as we called it. Colin Carter quoted this to me a number of years ago. The great Geelong president, AFL commissioner, said the average life expectancy of a gridiron player in America is 55.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Now, there's reasons for that, including a lot of drug stuff and also hitting heads. So the two things that we're talking about today are probably the two biggest things that have been in gridiron American football for many years.
Okay, but are we at the point whereby, and you've lived it, Peter Wright, split-second staff, turns away from that contract?
What's he doing?
What's going to stop a coach, and you've lived this?
Yes.
Picks up that phone to the runner and says, that was weak as, get him off.
No, it won't happen.
So are we going to go
back? So what should have been the
mental shift? No, Michael, it will not happen from now on in. Hmm. No one, I mean, I see 10 at a game where people start to go to the ball and just back off.
Yeah, they
run away. Hmm. And not a word said.
So even, what should have Peter Wright done? What should have he done?
Just avoid.
Did he have time?
One of the problems
did he have
is
time to avoid?
No. One of the problems is in trying to get out of it, as you know, I've actually tried to run into some of mine too much. You know, think of that when you're doing that and you're trying to avoid it. You end up ricking your neck or, buddy, hurting your arm. You fall on the ground. Mm-hmm. So there's injury at risk, but it's better than killing
someone.
4 weeks
off. Yeah.
Yep. So he's got to take evasive action.
Yes, and I think that's going to be the game from now on.
Wouldn't it be simple? We touched on it the other day, nothing simple in our game, but I said surely the duty of care is on the person that's going to get their second. I thought a classic example was Patrick Dangerfield. I thought Laura Kane got it wrong when the Liam Stocker situation, when he paddled the ball forward, eyes for the ball only. Paddy milked that. He knew what was happening. He catapulted himself over the top. His knee went in the back of Stocker. Surely it is incumbent upon the player that gets their second. The duty of the care is with their. This would get rid of all the grey areas.
Yeah, and you know what? And I think we've had it in our world for a long time. When the first traffic lights were first put up in Chicago in late 1800s, early 1900s, the car from behind was at risk to running into someone.
Yep.
So they brought in the rule. Soon as you hit the car from behind, it's your fault, the bloke behind.
Yep.
Because you can see what's happening. So that's been around. It's been a law of the land in another way, shape or form.
Great analogy,
Bloody. Since everything. There you go.
So there's a simple fix there. Is there a simple fix for the Adelaide Crows? There's been a fair reaction, maybe overreaction. We're two games in. You won a flag. What were you, 1-3 in 97?
We were. What actually happens is, you know, we talk about linear in football. You know, they've had this nice little incremental. Mm. They've got their 18 picks in the top 30 now. I mean, come on. Everyone knows it's going to be their turn, top 4, top 6, in the next 3 or 4 years. Because you get all those early picks. Mm. every team now, look at it up now. I looked the other day. North Melbourne's got 22 in the top 30.
Yep.
It's only a matter of time. I mean, I think there used to be a bit about recruiting. There used to be a bit about players playing for the jumper in your local zone. Gone. You will take your turn. The trick is, when you get there as a player, a coach or an administrator, you just want to make sure it's not after the event. Mm. Like as in Adam Musa at Melbourne now. Richmond now, sorry.
Yep.
I mean, he's going to...
Mitchell at Hawthorn.
You got some tough years coming up.
Were you slightly dismissive of recruiters there? Because I think like what Port Adelaide's done, they've got a lot of work to do this year, and we've seen Sydney do it. We saw Collingwood fill some holes. I still think there's a massive job for recruiters when they can fill a few holes.
No, I'll tell you why. This is recruiting for you. Watching a player play in the AFL and doing a number on him, like a Isaac Rankin, say, or a Brendan Dirk Thatcher, yes, everyone gets involved from the coach down, and they should. When you're talking about an under 18 player, all you can get is video of it as a coach or an administrator. Mm. The bloke's recruiting, forget the list manager for a minute, it's the guy's recruiting go, bang, this is the guy, and they have a list of 120 players, Kim. Now, you get pick three, and he turns out to be a dud, and pick four was, you know what? It was do it reverse, and it would have been picked the same way. There is a, you know what? There's bloody more luck in an under 18 pick than anything else. Getting some older players from AFL clubs that you've seen in action at the level, that's less riskier.
Yep. Now, I'm
so that's the real challenge for Adelaide, isn't it? They've loaded up with draft picks. They've invested 70 to 100 games in them.
Yep.
But if you don't pick the right player, that investment then puts you back.
Well, no, but I mean, when you go back and you say, well, hang on, we got him at pick 13.
Yeah.
Jesus, why didn't you get pick 12?
Yeah, well, you can't do that now.
You know what I mean?
Going backwards.
No. You can't. And you know what? I think the problem is, and everyone's talked about their midfield. How do you say it? They do have a lot of players the same. So they've actually got to take a risk. And I mean, someone asked me about it, right? And I hate going back, although it's not bad fun going back sometimes. But when you take a risk with a McLeod and a Goodwin and an Edwards through the midfield, when others had left the club or played somewhere else, you'd never know what you got. So unless you play them here, how do you know what you got?
And I think we're on the same page, Blighty. Yeah. We've had a few coffees together. Yeah, I hope I haven't misquoted you here. You'd be more than happy for Lairdy to go back in defence.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he was a super player. He's a super player at halfback.
And it doesn't
I
mean you know, he can't play midfield.
No.
But
and you know what? He's actually been very good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's won best and fairest and all that. But is that what they need right now?
Exactly.
On the way up, you probably need him. When you get there, you need a bit of finesse. And not that he hasn't got finesse. He just gets the ball and works his butt off. I love him for it.
Yeah.
Crouchy's the same. They're very similar.
And they need experience in the back half at the moment. Now, Blighty, we've known each other a long time. You know I'm a very loyal man. I'd never throw our own under the bus. I've never done that to you, Root, have I? Apart from every night and every 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah,
I was listening on the way in.
A couple of the young fellas coming up in our stable. Dan Menzel doing a wonderful job and Paul Bonzer. We love their work. They were very quick to point out to me that you haven't got GWS in the top eight. Are you standing by that or not?
Now, I want to go in the reverse in the mirror here because I think I have listened to you and I am going to say someone else had another team at seventh, eighth or ninth in a studio where I work called Port Adelaide. I have them as premiers for the year. It is an opinion-based business.
Yes.
I went through my list and I've gone, I put all the games they won last year, how they had that great run, great injury run at the end of last year. And then in the end, I actually picked Adelaide 8th and GWS 9th.
Yep.
They were that
close.
And it was because I thought, well, you know, you get on a bit of a run at the end of the year. Is that going to still happen? I'll tell you now, every team's the same, probably not for Adelaide. If they get two or three injuries to key players, GWS, they'll be where I put them.
Yeah, they're not going too bad. And I'm with you, Blighty. I had Port Adelaide for premiers. I didn't know you'd done that. And they're tracking nice. I got them winning first six or seven games.
I think I had them 6-1.
Yeah, yep, love it.
When you talk about rebuilds, what's West Coast doing?
Yeah.
Weekend they play the third oldest team of the series.
Yeah.
Has the penny dropped there or not?
I mean, I guess one of the things is, probably I didn't have to find this out, but, you know, from 2018 when they won that flag, from that day, they've had a lot of injuries. Now, I reckon something happens at a football club. Now, when COVID was on, Adam Simpson, who I know, Adam, I mean, terrific player, he's a premiership coach, said at the time in the hub, wherever they were in Queensland,
yep,
what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Well, I reckon if you're the boss of the joint and you give players outs, no matter what you say, it just still rings with me. I wouldn't have rang him up, but I just thought, everyone else is here not whinging. Why are you whinging about something you've got no control over? See, I'm a great worrier on something I've got control over. Don't worry about stuff.
Why are they being so slow in injecting youth into that side?
Well, because, I mean, once COVID was over, they thought, well, let's resurrect it again. But the players are 2 years older. Yeah, I know, of course not.
Well, they had a lot of experienced players with big names and they backed them in. I think it wouldn't be the first coach to fall for that trick. And you've said it before with Kenny backing in players with injuries, Rich. Yeah, you know.
Absolutely.
But I'm just intrigued that they haven't let the penny drop and say that it's got to – we saw what Adelaide did.
Yeah.
Why they ever had to go to a rebuild, why West Coast ever had to go to a rebuild is to be questioned. But if you're going to go there, do it the hard cuts.
It's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think Adelaide had any reason to go.
Once they decided to go there, they went hard.
Actually,
They did not expect to be finishing.
Just talking on the Eagles, I did see one movement from Harley Reid a series of movements. Most players couldn't dream of doing it. So, I mean, at least they've finally got, you know, it looks as though there's going to be a heart starter, which is good.
He's the type of lad that says, all right, jump on my back. I've got to take you with me. Hey, relationships are really important in football, whether it's with the senior coach or assistant coach. We heard Chad Corns talking about Todd Marshall. We all know about his background, how tough his life has been for a 25-year-old. Here's Toddy on the eve of playing his 100th, talking about his relationship with Chad Corns.
Yeah, I think me and Chad's relationship is really strong. You know, probably when everything happened with mum and dad, he was the runner, and I think we were able to build that strong relationship just through that. And, you know, him and Charlie have been massive for me throughout probably the last 6 or 7 years, just sort of keeping me on track and, you know, developing me as a player and as a person. So,
Blighty, relationships with players, you didn't have the advantage of having as many assistant coaches as they do now. But how important is it to have a strong relationship? Because you're like a father figure, a coach.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and don't forget, it's a different time. Then it was do this and shut up. Now it's how do we do it together? And I can tell you why the difference is. I also ran a $100 million business, which people are sick of me talking about, and played and coached. So your time frame was completely different. You turn up at training at 5 o'clock, you train at 5:30, off you go, and everyone runs off and everyone goes to work. It's a bit like the Sandful now.
Yep.
So it's a different world now. Now at work, I was the most easiest bloke to get on with because you're mixing and you're finding out about their families and because they're part of, because you spend 8 hours a day with them.
Well, that is another edition of The Best of the Run Home with Kimbo on the Rooch. Stay tuned this afternoon from 3. We'll preview the Sandful season with their GM of football, Matt Duldig, chat to Adelaide Crows assistant coach Scott Burns, and AFL Nation commentator Matt Hill. Which of last year's grand finalists will claim their first win of the season? Hi, it's Kimbo here. Welcome back to The Best of the Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch. As always, we ended our week with the Friday forecast, our sure thing, most at stake, and doomsday scenario. Let's go to the Friday forecast. Wednesday just don't go. Bum, bum. Pretty simple. We stole it off AFL 360. We have our sure thing of the week, our most at stake, and our doomsday scenario. Before I get to that, there's a text come through about Kano. Isn't Kane being sponsored by Huggies? They're baby's nappies, Rich. I think good on him for all those guys that get out there in the boxing ring. And for someone that's never done boxing before, good on.
See how it goes. All right. It's all good.
Your sure thing. Are you going to be a pussy again like you were last week?
Oh, look who's talking.
Hey, excuse me. I made my sure thing, Western Bulldogs, over the Gold Coast.
Well, you're really out on a limb on that one, were you?
Well, excuse me. They were undefeated. Everyone was saying they were top eight.
Right.
And you went, oh, it's going to be sunny.
Did I?
He did.
Did I say sunny?
He did something really wanky.
Right.
All right, what do you got?
Now, what is certain when Port Adelaide plays Melbourne is that Port Adelaide comes up with a trick or two for Max Gawn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that I am sure of. That's... What I would be intrigued about is, particularly after Melbourne was towed up last year for not reacting, is there going to be a response this time from the demons?
I like
one is
it.
Sure, one is to be seen.
Yeah, this will be interesting. Well, they've done it about the last five times they've met, so they'll be prepared for it.
They've always got some sort of trick for him.
All right, will they rough up Max again? I like it. My sure thing is Brisbane will beat Collingwood tonight, Roach. Look at that. I could have gone Western Bulldogs over the West Coast Eagles, but no. I like to live on the edge. What are you pulling weird faces for?
We're really out on a limb again there.
Why?
Rightio, okay. That's all right. I thought you might have come up with something creative.
Well, I could say Adelaide will beat Freo.
I don't want a tip. I want something that's going to happen in a game.
Well,
you're sure
you're changing the rules.
Rory Laird will play in defence. Yeah. Go with that.
No, I won't.
Oh.
Because I don't know.
Rightio.
And the Friday forecast, after 5 years, you're changing the rules. What's your most at stake?
North Melbourne in the Good Friday game, because if they get towed up again, there's going to be this whole debate, should they be hosting a Good Friday game, Kim?
Yeah, well,
it's been going on for a while now. Right. Can they stand up to the blockbuster time slot?
Yeah, 3:50 it gets underway, Adelaide time Important at Marvel game. Stadium. My most at stake is Adelaide. You can't be zipping three, Rooch, after all the hype and, you know, everything that they've been saying over the summer. Doomsday scenario for you?
Well, it unfolds tonight. Now, what we have is Collingwood are 0-3. The stats tell us you can't finish in the top four when you're 0-3. So that could be Brisbane as well, which if they're not in the top four and Collingwood's not in the top four, that is a major shake-up to our pre-season predictions, Brisbane being a grand final.
I don't think since there's been 18 sides that if you lose the first three games, there's ever been a side that's finished top four.
No.
I think. Stand
no.
Correct.
Now, 0-4, can you maintain a premiership defence? It's a long time ago. It's a 12-team competition. Malcolm Blight was in the side, so any miracle could have been happening there. But North Melbourne lost their first four in 75 and won the flag. I seriously doubt Collingwood can come back from 0-4.
Yeah, I don't think they've got the depth. All right, my doomsday scenario is Carlton lose to North Melbourne. I mean, they're getting all their big guns
back. But that's
back.
Not doomsday for you. That's proof of your great statement that they will get three big scalps this year. Well, that's not doomsday for you.
No, well, it's not all about me. I'm just saying it'd be a doomsday for Carlton and their supporters. Not about me, Roach.
But you've put it on notice that North are going to get three big scalps.
Well, not necessarily against Carlton. I didn't even think of that. I just thought, given they're getting their players back, they had such a big miraculous win against Brisbane. Mm-hmm. They hung in there tough against Richmond. Imagine getting stars back like Wiedering and Elijah Hollands plays his first game and they get pumped by the Kangaroos. That would deflate them, wouldn't it? All right, number of texts.
Talk back would be very interesting then.
Number of texts coming through. Hope you were being facetious, Roach, about the bye teams this week, as they do indeed play each other next week at Mount Barker.
Thank goodness.
Oh, no, he wasn't.
Thank goodness.
He just didn't know.
No, I was just saying how it's always amusing how they don't have the bye teams play each other.
Why would anyone make Kane the face of McGain? Well, he's not the face. It's the sole of his shoes.
Right.
And he's a good supporter of the station, Mike Dobbin and McGain Real Estate. That was from Mario. Brett says, Happy Easter, the mighty Kimbo and the mighty Rooch. Big game for Port back at home, so hopefully we go 3-0. And Rooch, if you want to solve your coffee problem with Kimbo, just buy him a small tin of international roast or something that'll give him 18 coffees. No, I won't accept that.
Not the coffee, it's the milk.
He's tried that, Brett, anyway, because he's tight ass.
Milk, that's the key there.
If that one's come through again about Kane wearing Huggies, come on, guys. Workers in the real world get the sack on the spot if found to be taking drugs. Depends what industry you're in.
Yeah, depends where, yes. Yes, as Andrew Dimitro says quite well in his quote that we played earlier, there are some pretty powerful people who keep their jobs once they've been exposed to drug use.
Well, we mentioned judges, didn't we? Here's another one. This is after our chat with Matt Doldig. Dearer at the gate, $20 cash than on your phone for a sandful. What a joke. That really caters for traditional supporters, not.
No, I think it's more about if you pre-book, you get a discount.
Please, a text comes. Sorry. Sorry, I just spat in the microphone. Modbury Max sent through this week's out. Joe Bloggs for marijuana, John Doe for cocaine, Johnny Disco for, it goes on like that. Come on, Modbury.
But his point is an interesting one. If all of a sudden you know, this whole debate, which has really taken some twists, demands that there be transparency. How are you going to do that on the team sheet?
Mm.
Kim Dillon, out, marijuana.
Will you stop using me for an example? I've never even had a cigarette in my life.
Well, I've got to use some example without getting into trouble.
There's three of us in this.
You're big enough. You've got broad enough shoulders.
Yeah, shoulders looking good, actually. How
are they going to do that?
I don't know, Rooch. I find it tedious. I know it's an issue. But we're talking about something that's been going on for 20 years, as we said, like it's something new.
Yeah, well, I did say to Mark Evans that Andrew Demetriou and Gil McLachlan that day in 2014, you put this in the no one's to see file, it will blow in your face one day.
No, I think we just would have had more commentary day in, day out if they'd still been publicising it.
But people would have got tired of it. But at least it would have been transparent. Now everyone's going in shock. Oh, I didn't know this happened.
Really?
Well, what happened in the match committees when the doctor would come in and say, Kim Dillon's not playing this week?
Now people will think because I was injured for 870 games that I was on drugs.
You were, weren't you? Painkillers galore.
There was a text came through about a bigger issue as players getting jabbed.
Did we get jabbed willy-nilly in the 80s
and 90s? Like a pincushion.
Well, we better go to a break.
Okay. No, it's not a break. It's the news. Yes. But one quick text here. Afternoon, Kimbo and the Roots. Surely the theme for Kane shouldn't be float like a butterfly and sting like a bee, but rather built like a butterfly, annoys like a flea. And that's from a port man, from Alan at Alberton. Very poetic there, Al. Thank you for listening to the Best of the Run Home with Kimbo and the Roots. Happy Easter. Hope you all have an enjoyable and safe long weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday afternoon in the build-up to Gather Round. And joining us will be Rory Laird and Miles Bergman.